I was very excited that we were able to spend a couple of hours on praise and worship here. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, we spend every Monday evening from 6 to 8 praying and asking the Lord for different things. And we're pretty good at asking. And, you know, as parents, I know that children tend to ask. And sometimes we want to hear, Daddy, thank you. You know, Mama, thank you. And, you know, as parents, we like to hear that and know that the kids are appreciative of what we do for them. And so I wonder, you know, we need to do this time of worship and adoration to our Father a little more often than just, you know, once in a great while. We petition him a lot. We ought to thank him a lot and worship and appreciate him and show him that we love him. So I had a great time. I don't know about all of you. So is there anyone, just before I get started, is there anyone that has anything that builds edification, that you know, you got something that driving you nuts because you want to say it and they don't give you a mic? Now's your chance. Yeah, 5 minutes. Okay. Everybody's good. All right. I just, I was talking to the Father throughout this weekend, and I just felt that something was supposed to happen beside me teaching here. But I guess there will be other opportunities. If quite often, you know, we discover in our lives, if you have lived long enough in this world, which I know you have, I can tell, that we need to make important decisions every once in a while. Right. And it's serious business. It's not just, yeah, you know, flip a coin type deal. No, it's something that we need to make some decisions that impact our lives for quite some time. I'm just going to use the example of, you know, we make the decision to exercise and lose some weight. You know, I know that that seems to be a lot of what is happening today. I know all the time we come to town, we go by the exercise place, and that place is always active. You know, there's always people lifting weights and doing their thing. In order for you to do that, you have to make a decision, you know. And that decision can be, can work a hard work in our minds and in our body. You know, a lot of repetition, a lot of exhaustive work. You know, you decide to lose weight, and you have to discipline yourself with food, and you have to deprive yourself of pressure. Requires a lot of discipline and effort, and it's not very glamorous. You know, some people think it is glamorous, but just dressing like you're going to exercise, that's not it, buddy. And then after a while, you wonder, is it worth the punishment? Is this worth it? You know, that decision forces changes in our body and our perspective. Not only our bodies, but our minds have to be changed. We realize, if I make this decision, this is not just for a week and be done. No, this is for the long haul. It's not just one day or two and I'm through. No, this requires a major shift. This decision develops character. You know, when you make the decision, I have committed to this and I'm going to do it. I'm going to plow through if it kills me, right? Usually does, doesn't it? In Psalms 101, you know, the psalm is only 8 verses long, and yet David makes a declaration, and there are 9 I will that he mentions. He's making a commitment. I'm not going to go there, and that's your homework. You have to look at Psalm 101 and read it on your own time. But there he mentions that he wills. You know, he makes a decision. He says, I will sing, I will behave, I will walk. I will not know this, I will not get involved in that. I will destroy this thing, I will destroy that thing. You know, in the age and time that we live, our attention span has been conditioned by 30-second commercials. Boy, we hate those, don't we? Our opinion today can change as easy as changing the TV with a remote, you know, the one you love to click around. And what we found exciting, you know, yesterday, you know, we were so excited about yesterday, and today is boring, you know. We thought yesterday that was the greatest thing on earth, and today, I don't even care. You know, last week's best, you know, we find this awesome camera. Oh, we're excited about the camera. We bought it. We ordered it. We got all the whistles and bells. And next week, it's in a garage sale. You know, we as people have become very fickle. You know, we go up and we go down, and we're yo-yos, aren't we? Last year's latest fashions, we consider dorky today. You know, I'm not going to dress like that anymore. I was last year. This year's different. We're in a time where commitment doesn't mean much anymore for many people. We make commitments in marriage, in family, in friendships, at work, in the church. We make commitments to God. Even bridegrooms and brides say, I do, to faithfulness and love. There are a lot of promises in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, for as long as they shall live. These are just, they seem like just pretty words, but they're more than just pretty romantic words, especially when they're put to the test in our daily life. It is commitment that allowed marriages to flourish through the inevitable changes that come over 5, 10, 20, 40, 50, 60 years of constant relationship. And you know, sometimes it's just like this, rubbing on one another and irritating one another. But you know, that's what you do when you sharpen a knife, don't you? You rub one metal against another, and it creates a smooth edge that is very useful. Some of you are becoming or have become new parents of beautiful children. Do you realize the roller coaster ride of experiences and emotions that you will go through in the coming years as you gaze into those beautiful faces at the beginning, and then somehow they are not that beautiful anymore? This parent-child relationship takes commitment unlike any other. My wife and I say to new couples as we counsel. If you want to stop being selfish, have a baby. Why? Because they depend totally on you. And all of a sudden, you're not important anymore. That creature is. And whatever it wants, when it wants, how it wants, you better take care of it or you will not have a life. And yet, we see some people that have babies and they're still very selfish. It happens. Which one of us, when we said yes to Christ, would have imagined the road of faith that the Lord will lead us through? Some rougher than others. Some more exciting than others. They're all challenging, aren't they? We have heard about what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 34. It says, when Jesus had called the people to himself with his disciples also, they didn't stay behind, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. When you made your decision for the Lord, did you think seriously about what you were committing to? All of these areas require a decision in a particular moment where a lifelong commitment is intended. And so you sometimes wonder, am I able to do this kind of commitment? Of course. You were designed, you were created, you were given the ability to make commitments. In fact, God said, I gave you a free will. And so you can choose to will. That's part of who you are. Now, we need to understand that commitments extend beyond the one moment when you make them. In our culture today, anything, even God, can be packaged nicely and be sold quickly. But when it loses the novelty, a lot of times it ends up in a garbage heap. There's a great market for religious experiences of all kinds around us, but there is very little enthusiasm for patient acquisition of virtue and all those other things that Christians call holiness and righteousness. Amen. We want them quick. We can't wait for it too long. So this is a question for us today. Are we willing to make these commitments, such as in marriage, in parenting, in friendships, in relationships, in discipleship, in agreement with others, and be willing to keep them over the long haul? Without commitment to other people, we have neither friends nor family. And without commitment to the Lord, we don't really enjoy an abundant life. Commitment is a glue that binds all the moments of our lives together. Friendships and families are created by the sharing of moments and experiences, the good and the bad, which are linked together by this chain that is called commitment. Without commitment, they're just nothing more than isolated experiences which we could have with any kind of stranger. They would only be snapshots rather than real life. But commitment establishes a connection between ourselves and others. Commitment gives our lives meaning, value, and purpose. And it is only through commitment that we can truly get to know others. And we also get to know ourselves. When we commit to others, we are actually giving of ourselves to them. Now, the intensity and sincerity of our commitment is tested by time. There are some who give themselves for the moment or as long as it feels good, but that's not commitment. They have not given themselves at all. And this happens also with our commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are many couples today living together, not married. And some in those relationships ask, will you be committed to me tomorrow? Well, actually, there's no commitment. We're just enjoying the moment, right? Commitment is what brings meaning. Commitment says, I love you and you are worthy. Commitment says, this relationship is valuable enough for me to go through whatever we have to in order to keep it together. The life of faith calls us to make commitments based on those commitments that God has already made for us, and there are many. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus was praying. And he said some wonderful things. He starts in verse 20 saying, I do not pray for this alone. He's talking to the Father. I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in me through the word. That's you and me. Amen. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. What a privilege. The creator of the universe, in their oneness, they want us to be one with them. What for? That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Not only does he want oneness, he wants us to enjoy the glory that the Lord enjoys. That they may be one, just as we are one. Wow. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and had loved them as you've loved me. You notice how many times the Lord says that he loves us, and yet difficult time comes and says, God, where are you? Yeah. That's like a little baby that hasn't moved out of the crib. Says, Mom, where have you been? You know, she's committed to you. She's there taking care of all your needs, and you're still doubting. That's what we do with the Lord. Such commitments from Jesus, you know, they're awesome. They require everything that we have and even more. It demands that we hang in there through the good times and through the not so good ones. That is commitment. And when we do, when we are committed and we demonstrate it, then we discover the blessing that never can be experienced with just a promise. We follow through. And he made good on what he promised. The Bible talks about a worker that doesn't have commitment. He's not to be trusted. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, we find Paul and Barnabas ministering in his missionary trips, and they took a young assistant, John Mark. And they went and they ministered, and John was there ministering to them. And then in Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas decided to go to Pamphylia. And John Mark said, I think I'm going back home. What? He just left them. He said, I don't think this is for me right now. I'm going back home. He lacked commitment. And then we find in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas. In Acts 15:36, he says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit the brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Let's go back to where we minister already and see what the progress is. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. He was not committed. And Paul said, I can't trust a guy who's not committed. And verse 39 says, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. Hebrews, a great book. In chapter 10, verse 19, the author of Hebrews wrote, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Now that's commitment. For he who promised is faithful. Amen. This day and age, we need to concentrate a little more and be a little more serious about commitment, the type of commitment. We tend to talk a lot, and we make promises that we're not planning to keep just to sound good. That's not the way of a Christian. There are a few pointers about commitment. The first one is we got to stop being half-hearted. You know, it is said that when the pain of half-heartedness is greater than the fear of failure, then you will commit. Sometimes we have to realize that we're not fully committed. We just spoke too harshly and we're not committed. And then we pay some consequences. That's not fair. Well, you were the one that talked and said you were going to do it, and now you decide not to, and all this stuff is coming up. Can be painful. Next time, make sure you're committing properly. Secondly, are you just committed or just interested? Many people stay passive with a lot of possibilities, but never committed to make them reality. I dream about this. I want to do this one day. I want to do that. There's no follow through. It's just wishful thinking. We need to be committed, not just interested. Interest makes excuses and procrastinate. Commitment gets new skills and solutions. So why are we holding back? What is keeping us from living the way we know is the right way? Thirdly, you know, we never will get to know it all while we are in this flesh. But we know enough right now to make the right commitments. Now, you may be fearful, you may be unsure about certain things, but you're able to make a commitment. And if you keep waiting until you are ready, guess what? You will never be ready. Some of you need to think that over again. If you keep waiting until you are ready, you will never be ready. Now, I know that the other extreme is bad too. Oh, I'm ready, I'm ready. You're not ready. You know, there's some of those too. But the majority of us is, yeah, I'll get to it, I'll get to it. We never get to it. Fourthly, you know, we learn concepts as we look at information. But the skills that we need, they're only learned when we take action. Amen. Some of us dig into information forever. Take 2 or 3 weeks to make a decision. And at the end of the 2 or 3 weeks, we're still not any farther on than we were at the beginning. We're still undecided. And usually somebody else has to make a decision for us. And then we get upset with them. Skills are learned when we take action. And yeah, we may fail at some point, but even failure can bring understanding and skills and experience for sure. Now, there are 4 important steps in our process of commitment. First of all, we need to get a mindset that is proper. We have to be determined. This is called determination. I am going to commit to this, and I am not going to back out until I see it through. Whether it's a fairly short-term time or a very long-term endeavor, we have to get our minds in the proper perspective. Secondly, we need to have a clear picture of our goal. That is called vision. If we don't have a good idea what our goal is, we get so distracted along the way, we never get there. The Lord is always giving us goals. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. He's given us a clear goal, what we're after. We are after conforming to the image of Christ. In fact, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. That's why he was sent, to make us more like Jesus, like your son was sharing a while ago. Thirdly, we need to focus on what is important. We need to be selective on the things that we work on as we work in our commitment. We need to learn to ignore some things that don't take us to the goal that we're after, so that we're not distracted by rabbit trails here and there. You know, the walk with the Lord, it is a very important goal in our lives. And boy, the enemy is always throwing this distraction, that distraction, all around. Even to come to church is a struggle and a fight, as my wife was sharing a while ago. And we understand that, and we pray for you so that the enemy will not get an upper hand. so that you will stick with a commitment. You know, I'm going to go and that's the end of that. We'll take care of your attitude when you get in, but you're here. That's a good thing. And then finally, we need to learn to be accountable. You become accountable, first of all, to yourself and to your Savior. You commit yourself to the Lord and say, you know, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to pursue growth. I am going to pursue faithfulness towards the things that you've called me to do. And then share it with others so that you can become accountable to them as well. You know, sometimes we think that we can do things all on our own. Me and God. Listen, this is why God said, don't forsake the assembling together of ourselves. Because we need one another. We are meant to live in community with relationships that give and take, that make us accountable to one another. That's why Paul said, submit one another in the fear of God. Because as we commit in our relationship with God, you know, Jesus said, there's two great commandments. All of the law and all the prophets are summed up in two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your brother as yourself. All of that is summed up in that. And boy, it takes commitment to love some of our brothers and sisters. You really have to bite your teeth and grit your teeth sometimes. But there is always fruit that comes when you stick with it. And you, no matter what, I'm going to love you, even if it kills me. And most of the time it does. No. You will find that it is such a fulfilling life. Yes. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way. Obviously, you know, it has to be a way that aligns with his principle, his character. You commit it to him. You make a commitment. God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do this thing because I know that's what you're calling me to do. It may not be easy, but I know you'll give me the strength to see me through. And he will. As you trust him, he'll bring it to pass. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, again, it says, commit your works to the Lord. And your thoughts will be established. As we commit ourselves to the Lord in the things that we know he's called, then we convince ourselves, this is the way that God intended for me at this season of my life. I'm going to pursue it because that will bring abundant life at this stage. And when I tell others, then I become accountable to others and others help me fulfill that. You know, many times I want to throw the towel. But then my brother, my sister's coming, you're doing such a great job. Really go for it because you're doing great. Oh, yeah, I was about to quit, but I guess I can do a little more. Are you committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you just curious about him, about the way his people behave? A more important question, does your walk demonstrate the commitment you say you have for Jesus? Ow. You know, your commitment will be tested. But when you pass the test, you will realize how many benefits come your way because you stayed faithful in your commitment. And you will be called, as Jesus put it, a good steward. In Matthew to end up. The last scripture, I promise. In Matthew 25, verse 23, Jesus was sharing a parable with the people. And there were some stewards, some good, some bad. And this particular one, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." You see, many times we concentrate, I'm going to rule over many things. You know, I had a hard time with little stuff. And you give me more? That my reward? No, I wanted a vacation. He'll make you a ruler of many things, but notice what it ends up with. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, once you go through and you realize that with God's strength you can do it, then you know you can tackle whatever, because God is with you. And really, he's the one that does the work through you and through me. And there is joy knowing that we are co-laborers with Christ, even in this world of such imperfection and so much stuff that can go wrong. And yet, the joy of the Lord is our strength to carry out our commitment. Commitment. Make it part of your character today. We all need it. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have given us the liberty to choose so many things. Father, you even tell us what's good, what's bad, and you say, choose you this day who you will serve. You have given us that freedom. And Father, so many times we struggle with our commitment because there's so many distractions, so many pulls. But Lord, you're clear in your word that you reward faithfulness, that you reward those that stick with their commitment, even to their own hurt, they stay faithful. And I thank you, Father. Lord, help us with our commitment, that we would be steadfast. Father, that we would get the vision and stay focused on it until we see it through. Help us, Lord, to have accountability around us so that in times of weakness, we can receive strength from others and from your Spirit. And Father, may we, as we stay committed, that we may be able to enjoy the abundant life that you intended for each one of us. I thank you, Father. I bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.